So Rajan, do you want to do a Radiohead jingle for this episode?
I definitely can't write a Radiohead song, but that's not going to stop me from trying now that you said that.
Just like, I've got a cat, I could get it to, like, I don't know, screech or scratch at the door or something. And definitely.
Joining us today on that podcast thing we do. We talk pop culture and we say we do it for you. That podcast thing we do. That podcast thing we do.
And then Dan, that'll be
our
intro.
I'm assuming you're not a huge fan.
What, of
Radiohead?
Oh, I am.
Okay,
dude,
okay.
Dan might be a bigger Radiohead fan than me.
I was it the cat comment?
Yeah.
I was just trying to accurately describe.
Oh, no, that was pretty spot on, which is why I had to ask.
So, yeah, somebody, I played Pyramid Song once, and someone was like, that is the sound of 1,000 cats being drowned at once.
It's like the equivalent of what I imagine. If they were recording new music in the orgy scene in Eyes Wide, that would be the sound.
Honestly, I'll admit, I never listened to Radiohead growing up. Like, I knew songs and stuff, but I never listened to any of it. Okay. So, I've been listening to this stuff for the last 4 days now, and it's, like, kind of bringing me down a little bit.
My fiance won't let me play it.
It brings her down too, right?
That's exactly why. She's like, it's just so depressing.
Before we start today's episode and tell people what we were talking about, we have a guest today. It's our first guest episode.
Is it really the first guest episode?
Guest episode, Dan.
Oh, I'm honored.
Yeah.
Well, like, I don't know. It's a pretty good first guest
No, no, no. It's a big deal, Rajan.
Oh, you guys.
Talking Radiohead. So, like, we had to bring in an expert.
Yeah, we're talking about Radiohead because their new album's out. A moon-shaped pool.
It's great. That's about as far as I'm going to go in a review, but, like, we're definitely going to talk Radiohead for them.
It might be missing a hyphen in that title, but that doesn't bother me at all. I agree with that great comment.
I don't know, like, I would talk about this album, but just like any Radiohead, it's, like, it's definitely, what, it came out on Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sunday.
And it's, like, I have not begun to digested enough. I don't know. I think maybe Burn the Witch, like, because we had the single for a week, but even then, every time I played, it still gets better. So it's like, I don't know what I'm going to be saying about this album eventually.
All right. Save it. Wait, Dan, you wanted to be here today. So tell us, what does Radiohead mean to you?
Oh my God. What don't they mean to me? I really, you know, I think I kind of like got into them in my angsty teen years, because that seemed like the angsty teen thing to do. And it just kind of stuck. They're like probably one of the bands that I return to more than any other. You know, if I'm, you know, in those moments when you're just not sure what you feel like listening to, I kind of have like a different, I can just look at their discography and pick out a different album for each different mood that I'm feeling. And I don't know, I think that's kind of a special connection to have where I don't really, there's maybe things I dislike, but for the most part, like I've kind of had to learn to have that appreciation for it. And if anything, like they've just, in addition to even entertaining me as a listener, I think they've kind of helped open my eyes to a new way to even absorb art.
They break so many barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of any artist kind of after maybe like, after like the British invasion when they were trying psychedelia and stuff, I can't think of anybody who kind of broke the barrier for art that much in terms of a rock group, you know what I mean? Like their first album too, they started totally like as a Nirvana, Pearl Jam, grunge sort of outfit, and it's like I can't think of anybody else who started like that and broke that barrier, not even Nirvana.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, they changed their sound so many times too.
And it's exactly why Dan's comment, like, I think out of all the artists like I listen to, Radiohead is one of the groups that can kind of cover most moods too, because like you said, their sound's always changing. Like I don't even really know what their sound is. Like I don't think they've ever really had a sound longer than one album, unless maybe Kid A and Amnesiac, but those are like the same sessions, and even then, like, they definitely sound very different as albums.
Mm-hmm.
So should we start with,
I guess,
Pablo Honey?
Before we get into Pablo Honey, can I ask, like, what was your guys, each of you, like, your first exposure to them? Like,
Radiohead?
You remember, like, oh my God, this is when I first, you know, kind of heard them. Like, for me, like, you know, they were on Much Music a lot when I was growing. So, like, I think the first time I really sat and listened to them would have been, like, kind of mid-late 90s, just because they were on, like, Big Shiny Tunes 2 and 3 or something like that.
Well, yeah, that's when they got really big, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right around OK Computer, right?
Yeah. I think it was, like, Paranoid Android on...
Sure. Like, you couldn't avoid Paranoid Android in Canada.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's actually funny. That's the same thing for me, because my uncles, more than one of them, their favorite band is Radiohead. So it's like, even before I had heard the music, I kind of always loved the covers and the art, because it was like they had t-shirts with it all the time.
Mm.
And like when OK Computer came out, not when it came out probably actually, but about 1999, like 2000, like I heard OK Computer, one of my uncles was like, you definitely need to listen to this. I don't know, it definitely changed a lot. Like, I still remember the first time I put it on, I was like, yo, this is definitely garbage.
That's funny, everybody, it's OK Computer, huh?
Well, like, I don't know.
My first song was No Surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the first song I heard of Radiohead, and I was like, okay, this I like... And then I heard some of the earlier stuff and I was like, this, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It took a while for me to get into them, like even OK Computer. But like when I did, it was like Dan was saying, they kind of opened my mind to different music and just overall art, because it was like, okay, I definitely thought this sounded crazy, but now I love it. Like, what else is out there like this?
It's kind of like a gateway, like, drug, but for art. It's like, hey man, try hit off this Radiohead, and next thing you know, you're like diving down the rabbit hole completely.
Oh, for sure.
I have a question. I didn't grow up listening to Radiohead, so do you guys know what their logo means?
I don't know what anything they do means. I don't even try and think about it. I'm just like, this is some good shit, Radiohead.
Dan, can you help me out?
Do you, Dan?
Which logo, like the little bear head,
like a little blotch or something?
Because I know, like, I think it was around, it's a Kid A when they started doing, like, everywhere you went, it was just like,
I don't know, like when you search Radiohead, like, on
bear
Google.
With sharp teeth.
Oh
yeah, that fucking bear with sharp teeth. I looked it up because I was like, which, like, what is he talking about? Because I don't know what
No, not the bear with sharp teeth. If you just Google Radiohead,
this is so much better than Deadmau5.
You get this little black.
Oh, I see it right there. Yeah. I see exactly what you're saying.
I had no idea what that was.
I definitely not see this. It's just giving me pictures of the band.
It's the, I went straight into, like, just regular Google. I searched images and it was just the band. But
it's
like
just
that,
on regular
that
Google.
Swatch.
It's on the
web. Okay.
Yeah. Regular Google.
Like, yeah, regular.
Sun Diet Google.
Good old-fashioned Google.
Yeah,
I'll
that's
my
the
aspartame. Yeah,
that's the like the center of the moon shaped pool album.
Oh,
is it
okay,
not?
Okay, yeah.
Cover.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, never mind.
and it kind of looks like, I don't know what it's supposed to be. Like it kind of looks like almost an angry, like, head. Like, you know, the bottom right corner is like a mouth opening up with a bit of a snarl, or it could be a heart. Like a human.
That's what I actually thought originally. But, like, knowing Radiohead, it's probably both. They're like, it looks like two things.
I just
is it a rabbit or a duck?
Yeah, no. I saw like a weird looking acorn or a head. Head in the in the style of, like, the gorillas.
The gorillas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? That's actually one of the bands back in the day that I was like, definitely turn off Radiohead and play the Gorillaz.
Yeah. I actually did get into the Gorillaz for a while.
Dude, Feel Good Inc. was great. Time.
I was like, what is it? There's like some frozen yogurt place called Stylo or something. And my bus went by this morning and I just start singing Stylo in my head. It's like, damn, Gorillaz, what happened? Why'd they stop drawing you guys?
it's like what is that, Holy Grail? And suddenly the animator just died.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Dan, we don't edit these too much. Just letting you know, if you've ever heard any of our episodes, we...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
It's just kind of just rolling and sprawling. I like it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's off the cuff.
Yeah, well, like, you know, there's a lot of aimless podcasts out there, and I was like, what better than to the world? I was like, you know,
there's a lot of aimless podcasts out there, and I thought to myself, this
I can I make can a do. Good one. Yeah, like, this is my art form, man.
And just watch the money roll in now.
Yeah, exactly. Sponsorship deals by Radiohead. They're going to sponsor us.
You know, it's funny just kind of like how like rare they kind of appear in, you know, even though everybody talks about them, it's not like, oh, Radiohead guest starring on, you know, Saturday Night Live. Although they've done that, I think, a couple times.
Totally.
But it's
like
not as much as you'd expect. Like those few appearances or the grant, like when they did 15 Step at the Grammys with like a huge marching band and shit, it feels like an event and not just like, oh, here's, you know, whoever it is singing their hit single again.
Oh, totally. It's like when their albums come out, when the first promotion comes out every time, it's always new and it's like weird and it's always an event because, I don't know, I think they're from that school of kind of like David Bowie, what he did in the 70s and then after he kind of disappeared too. Kind of, and then before his death, RIP, like, of like, they really do want more mystique. And like, obviously, I can't just put it on mystique. They're humans, so they want privacy too. But like, I think Radiohead's really good at making sure they're not even making sure, they're just extremely good at the PR game without it being a game. It's kind of like an art with them.
Well, Radiohead kind of like has this really rich sound, right? Because the music just is like just carries the entire song. It just reverberates through the entire song.
Well, yeah, and like there,
it feels like these old, it feels like these old Ronette songs.
Yeah,
you know, where the sound's really rich and loud, and you
yeah,
know?
I just love that you just compared Radiohead to the Ronettes, though. Like, I understand, but it's like, but the Ronettes, they're great too. Radiohead just led us to the Ronettes.
I was listening to Be My Baby today, so.
Definitely Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, actually, do you guys have like a favorite instance of Radiohead in film?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Like, because they don't even really, you know, the first one that always comes to my mind is like the opening of Vanilla Sky, which I don't think is a good movie personally, but that
I
song
don't
fitting the opening.
Either, but yeah.
I remember like, my parents watching it.
You know the
it.
Way of the gun?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The way of... Yeah, I despise that movie. But they used one of like the most creative Radiohead songs. I can't remember what it is right now. But like I literally loved this movie as a kid just because Del Toro, James Caan, and Radiohead. But like it's kind of a movie I despise now. But I'm definitely going to remember the song. So I'm thinking about this. Holy crap, what was it? They play it more than once, too, I think. Like, nowadays I'm kind of mad when I'm like, why did Radiohead even let them use this in this?
I like
that movie is so overwrought.
Same as you guys. Didn't really like the movie, but I loved... I actually kind of liked how they used it in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah, they used a couple of their songs.
Yeah, they used... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's super 90s, man. You got Leo DiCaprio in a tropical shirt. You got Romeo and Juliet. You got Radiohead.
Claire Danes.
You got a black guy popping ecstasy with them. Why does a black guy have to have the drugs in that movie?
Let's not do this.
I'm putting it on Bowser.
Thanks, Radiohead. You've cut us into.
Yeah. Thank God damn it. Also, this doesn't really count, but I really liked their Spectre sound theme so much better.
Dude, oh, God, it's so good.
And if, well, like, I'm really glad they didn't use it, though, because if they had given me a Radiohead song with the sequence they did where there's, like, people rubbing a shirtless Daniel Craig, like, that yeah. was a perfect way to sum up that movie, though. I'll give them that. Like, I didn't even think it was the worst, but, like, it definitely was the equivalent of a title sequence where this chick rubs Daniel Craig's back. Like,
you know, there's this TV show. There's this TV show called Life.
Yeah.
That was like, I don't know if you've heard of it. It was only like two seasons, but it had Damian Lewis, but like it was a show before Homeland. And they used a couple tracks from In Rainbows on two episodes.
That's awesome.
And I just thought, like, which okay, this is really cool. It's fitting well.
Do you remember which songs they were?
One episode they used All I Need, and another one it was Reckoner.
Mm. Oh, I like All I Need.
I like everything they did.
Again, Creep. It's only been 4 days, so if anybody's listening, please don't be upset. I will eventually grow to like them, I think. Not you, like them. I already might. Like them. I mean love them, but yeah.
And I mean, who can forget that, of course, 15 Step played at the end of the first Twilight movie?
Oh yeah. Oh crap. No, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's like right before the credits kick in.
Yeah.
I don't remember much of that, but I definitely saw that film.
Okay. Legend of
Glass House, the one with Michael Caine. They used the song in Children of Men, they used Life in a Glass House. Yeah, and that's probably my favorite movie that uses Radiohead, but maybe not my favorite use. Like, I think I'm with you, Dan. Vanilla Sky, like, they kind of use... I think it helped that they use everything in its right place, because that was so... It's such a vital record. Like, I honestly think... I'm pretty sure that's my favorite single they dropped overall. Well, I guess they didn't really release it as a single, but, like, it was definitely the song I heard most when Kid A came out.
Yeah.
And it, like... It hooked me. Like, even now, I can play it for, like, days on repeat, and it doesn't get old.
Well, the freaking opening chord to that song is just so good.
And it's... I don't know, it's... Like, I definitely love Tom York when he's just so angsty that he's not even saying words. Like, when he's kind of just mumbling and stuff, it's kind... He's so good at hitting notes that are in between notes with his voice that it doesn't matter. I don't need to hear words from him. It's like, I know... Like, he can just express what he's feeling through the notes, so like...
And they'll just stretch out the words to fill those spots and twist them around. Even though it's one word, it'll sound like it's going on for 30 seconds.
Yeah, like, he's definitely... And just even the fact that he has the lungs to do it sometimes, I'm so impressed.
Holy shit, his voice, man. The range it gets to, it's crazy.
I definitely still like... Okay, you know how Rolling Stone always does those greatest lists for like guitarists and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was only 66th on their singer one, and it came out in like... 2004, I think, but I still remember because I got the magazine, and I'm still mad that Tom York was not a top 50 singer according to them. I was like, okay,
how does he
man.
Not lose his voice? That is,
yeah.
I don't know. They wait every 4 years to make an album, and he's got lungs like crazy.
Yeah, no, it's insane. I was just sitting here thinking, I'm like, that must put a lot of stress.
Yeah, well,
on
like,
his vocal cords.
Look at what it does to people like even Axl Rose. Like, he's definitely way rougher now. And Tom York, like, how old is Axl Rose? Like, pretty sure they're around the same age.
Tom York's, what, 47, I think?
Yeah, I think he's almost 50 now, yeah.
Axl Rose is around 54.
He's 54, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see, like, I'm a huge South Park fan, so did you see the episode that they guest starred on?
Yeah.
Yes.
They're so good.
That, even though they don't perform... But I think that's maybe my favorite, like, of them in another piece of media.
They're used so well. Like, it's... I don't know. They, like... they definitely just get South Park and South Park gets Radiohead. It was a, like, I wouldn't guess that before it happened, but it was definitely the perfect marriage.
Yeah. Like when you hear they're going to be guest stars on a show and then you hear South Park, you're like, oh, really? That's,
yeah,
but it exactly. works. It works so well.
Wait, is Dan, is that the one where like, where Cartman, hits puberty or something?
Oh, it's the one with the pubes though. Where like,
yeah,
with
yeah,
Scott
yeah.
Tenorman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much is that in
pubes? Scott Tenorman must die. That was it.
Yeah, yeah. And then when he finds out that he's devoured his dead parents, the band walks by and like melts him off. Little baby.
They eat a lot of dead people in that accidentally. Like, is that one episode where Cartman drinks Kenny's ashes too because he thinks it's chocolate milk mix?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like they spend yeah. so much time, like he can't find a spoon. He mixes it and then he doesn't like it. Like they definitely spend like a good 4 minutes making us watch Cartman just drink Kenny.
And then when it happens, it's so good.
Yeah. And then when he's done too, he's like, worst chocolate milk mix ever. It's like, man, you didn't drink your friend, buddy. Like it's actually great.
I like that episode because I'm pretty sure that like every band member got to talk in it, which was kind of great.
Oh, I think so. Like it's, I don't know. They're just like, I'm always surprised by how good the South Park writers are. Not even as a slight to them, but like they're ridiculously consistent too.
No, it's the sheer volume, the rate.
Yeah.
And the quality. It's crazy. Those guys really deserve more.
They deserve to get invited to the Oscars again to show up on Acid again. Eat dresses.
Bring Tom York this time. Why not?
You know what? They should they should pull an Adam McKay and just like make a really serious movie and like get invited by the Academy and then show up in dresses.
Maybe. But like if I have to watch Spotlight again, I'm not gonna be
Okay, we really have to start with Pablo Honey.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh right, that album.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Oh, do you know, it's like more than Nirvana or even Pearl Jam, which I think are both obviously influences on Pablo Honey. Like it feels super REM and Sonic Youth more than those two to me.
Yeah. I mean, like those are probably the actual influences more than Nirvana. I think it's just like it came out around that time. You know, it's just like
maybe. Well, it a lot feels of the music like part that comes, of that milieu.
Like,
yeah,
I'm just listening to this album alone, like this album today, today again, I realized that a lot of the music that comes out around the same time just actually do kind of almost sound alike, you know? It just happens. You just can't.
Well, yeah, you can't. You're influenced by the same events, right? Like as personal as everything is and as unique as we are, the world's in the same place. So it's like,
Yeah, like
I totally understand.
You can say that about right now. I mean, people do say that about right now, you know?
Yeah.
So many people do. And like,
well, and people think it's only right now, though.
Exactly. And it's kind of true for back then.
Oh, not even kind of true, man. If you listen to like, even in the eras people praise as like the golden eras, like the 60s with the Beatles and stuff, you listen to the Kinks, like they're doing very similar stuff. Like even the Pretty Things, like they sound very similar.
Yeah, no, exactly. And what are your thoughts on this album?
On Pablo Honey?
Yeah.
You know what? It's honestly probably my least favorite.
Ah, same. That's what I was telling Sanjay too.
Because I think like it totally, you know, I think this could be true of almost any era and any genre, but if you were to listen to it without knowing that it's Radiohead, you'd be like, well, that sounds like some early 90s alternative grunge rock.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have their voice behind it, or
yeah,
at least
exactly.
That's something distinguishably them, maybe outside of the lyrics, but
yeah,
and of course Creep, but
yeah,
which is why I think a lot of people gravitate towards the Bends.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think because, just that streak too, though, because the Bends,
because when I heard the Bends too, I was like, okay, this really feels like they found their sound.
Yeah. Well, like, I think that's how those next three records actually felt. From the Bends to Kid A, it was like, every single time, it was like, okay, now they found their sound. Like, the Bends came out, and it was like, they found their sound. This is a groundbreaking record. But OK Computer came out, and it was like, what the hell? They just, They just created something nobody ever could have created. And then they did it again with Kid A, and it was like, I think those are the three albums I hear most often brought up as the three favorite Radiohead albums too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's largely because they were just like, they were finding new sounds every time out. And their first album, like, while I do agree totally about how it's very 90s alternative, but like, it's also still like, you know what I mean? I totally agree. It's my least favorite. I said to Sanjay, and the exact same thing, the voice, I don't think it's quite Radiohead, but when it comes to 90s alternative, I do think it's one of the better records a band put out during that time too.
And it was from what, 93?
Yeah. So it's right at the start too.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like, because they were playing together since 1985, I think I read. And they were called On a Friday.
Oh, yeah. I've heard the story.
Go ahead.
I know. Somebody told me the story, like the name of the band, how they got the name.
Oh, it's because I think they were like, when they were in high school, they're recording or their
every
band
Friday.
Yeah, okay.
So, so they've, when did they get the, like, how do they. Well, how did they get their big break? You guys know?
Ooh. I think it was Creep.
Well, like, that's definitely when they blew up, because that was... Probably I Creep. Still remember, like, they played Creep even in, like, 2001, the music video still. Like, not all the... Well, actually, I saw that music video way more than I should have, like, well, in
Creep's
2001.
Creep's the biggest song on the album. It makes sense.
Yeah, but the album came out in 1993. Why were they still, like... They were so... I don't know, OK Computer, the Bends, and Kid A. I don't remember any, like, the music videos never came on for any of those songs. Like, they did every once in a while, but, like, the amount that we watched Creep compared to new Radiohead videos killed me as a child, because I was like, there's new music they made.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what they, I thought I read that, is it, like, Colin Greenwood worked at like a record store or something and met some producer who signed them to EMI. But I think Creep came out in advance of Pablo Honey as a single off of an EP, maybe.
Okay, that would make sense actually, because I don't know, not many 90s alternative bands, even like who put an album out as good as Radiohead, would sell like that, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I was wrong. It was not on that EP.
Okay. well, now we're back to them not making sense, though, and that's very Radiohead of them.
But it was kind of like...
It came out before the album, though, 92, eh?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, like, I just looked it up. I was like...
For us, is like, Rajan, for you and I as like bigger Radiohead fans, I think we probably look down on Pablo Honey maybe more than like
I do, totally. Like, my little brother's just getting into Radiohead too, and I was like, oh, you should listen to all of them. And then I was like, except Pablo Honey. And I was like, that is such a snide remark. Mm. I was like,
is Pablo Honey to Radiohead fans like Death Proof is to Tarantino fans?
No. Well, maybe actually.
Yeah.
We wouldn't do it. Like, it's more like PTA and Heart Aid.
But Heartache's good.
Yeah, so is Pablo Honey. Like, that's the thing. Like, I actually think Pablo Honey might even be better than Heartache, but, like, I'm notoriously hard on PTA even more so than Radiohead. Like, he's just the bar. Like, if he screws up even one time in a movie, then I'm choked.
You know, a lot of people would argue he already has.
PTA? Yeah, but they'll definitely argue that with anybody. Like, they'll definitely argue that with Radiohead, too. They'll be like, when Kid A came out, man, people were like, you're crazy if you actually like this. This is noise. And I was like, you're fucked. like Kid A, I don't know.
You dropped the mic and walked away.
That was pretty much it, man. It was like, I'm definitely not going to argue it if you call it noise. But, I don't know. We definitely shouldn't get to Kid A yet, though.
So you guys just want to skip Pablo Honey because I got nothing on it.
Well, I don't know, like, what is there to really say, I guess, anymore. Yeah. I really enjoyed
Blowout as their final song on the album, though. It was a great way to end the album, I thought.
It definitely is. I actually think even songs like Ripcord and Anyone Can Play Guitar are really good. But
yeah, I like Anyone Can Play Guitar a lot.
Yeah, that's it's just awesome. But yeah, you know, like
it's funny. I'm sitting here with like the booklet from the CD of Pablo Honey, flipping through it, and it's like, yep, not a lot.
Yeah,
here's a band. Here's a picture of a crocodile and a gecko or something, and. That's it.
Yeah, like that.
I wonder how they feel about it, like especially doing like the stuff they do now. Like,
oh yeah,
they look back and are like, those were some pretty crazy times.
Yeah, they're like, we were doing grunge. Like, that's crazy. I bet you Tom York has no recollection. Yeah. He's like, that didn't happen. You guys are crazy.
This is all the bleach in his hair went to his brain. And
that could be something.
Wait, Tom... with Tom York, has he done anything solo?
Yeah, two solo albums that I think are terrific, actually. I was going to mention them at the end of the episode, too, because I think, I don't know, like, they're not Radiohead albums, but
ew.
I think they're not... It's like, I actually think Johnny Greenwood's albums are kind of more unique as opposed to Tom York's are very good music that's kind of like Radiohead-ish still. Like, it's not, like I said, it's not a Radiohead album per se, and he's got two of them, but like I feel like especially the second album, it's kind of more even blurred between what's Tom York and what's Radiohead.
And I found with, and I really like The Eraser. That's his first solo. I really like that. But even when you listen to it, like you can kind of tell where the collaboration comes into like their other albums. Yeah. You know, to the Radiohead albums, rather.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Lou Reed stuff when he first left Velvet Underground. How some of it kind of just still sounds very Velvet Underground-y, and you can kind of.
Didn't Lou Reed write for Velvet Underground a lot, anyway?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, he definitely not much more than Tom York writes for Radiohead.
Fair enough.
Because yeah, like there's Doug Yule and what's the guy with the violas? John Cale. Gosh is definitely good for that.
Yeah.
That's what Akash does on our show, Dan, by the way.
Especially with like proto-punk stuff.
Every time Rajan doesn't know anything, he just turns around and says, Akash, and he comes back with an answer.
Yeah, he checks it.
It's like instead of typing and going to Wikipedia, just ask him.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it's quicker, man. But, he just shouts the answer at me.
But also, Akash doesn't exist.
Yeah, so I can't get him to get me food, which really sucks, but other than that, it's pretty good.
We've convinced everybody he doesn't exist, or have we?
I don't know, man.
He's real as long as you believe he's real.
Yeah.
It's like food in Hook.
Yeah. Oh, that's a mental image I haven't had in my head for a while.
And that's what I'm good for, Dan.
Take it back.
Dan, do you remember when the Bends came out? Because you said you got into it more in OK Computer then, though. But...
Yeah, the Bends was 95.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's... I listened to it again. Well, I mean, I listened to it quite often.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, just a straight-up rock record, I think it's fantastic. And it's arguably maybe their only real straight-up rock.
I was going to say, I think it's... Like, people said Hail to the Thief was returned to guitar rock, but I think it's way too, like, yeah, there's guitars on it more prominently than the last couple.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was a rock record, and I think, I totally agree, the Bends is, like, the last one. And I think without the Bends, too, like, it was so influential immediately, like, without the Bends, you don't have the Strokes sounding the way they do, or groups like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, although it's different to them, it was like, it was so...
You sure as shit don't have Coldplay without the Bends.
Oh, definitely. Exactly.
I really like the Bends. Honestly, it's actually... I actually turned the album. I turned it up when I heard it. I was like,
you actually, God,
this is really good. Also, I've...
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, it was... Well, it's so innovative, too. Like, I think in terms of, like, 90s records, one of the very first, like, I think of is the Bends. Like, I think maybe the only album I think of faster when you go 90s albums is Nevermind.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Dan, you still with us?
No. No, he's not.
Damn it, I knew it. Skype will pay.
Is it like the Skype just doesn't like three people at once? It's too hard for whoever's listening in on this to stay up to date.
I don't know. I think it's like they're trying to force you to get that subscription for that conference call thing.
Hello?
Roger. Hey.
You can hear me?
We got Dan back.
Okay. Who's trying to force a subscription?
Skype.
Oh, fascists. I'm definitely going to call them fascists from now on. Nobody is above being called a fascist. Except maybe Tom York.
That's so 70s.
That's...
If you watch enough movies from the 70s, it's one of the most 70s thing ever. Just calling people fascists.
Yeah.
I don't know for why. Sure.
Even 60s, though. I don't know.
Do you guys have, on the subject of the bands, do you guys have a favorite song off of it?
I don't think I... Maybe Black Star for some reason. That kind of... like, Alps kind of jumped out at me. But, I don't know, Bulletproof, I Wish I Was, and My Iron Lung, like, those three in a row, kind of, actually, just the last five, kind of, has been always, I don't know, I thought it was such a great build-up to the end of the record, but I know for a gosh, it's definitely My Iron Lung.
I like High and Dry.
I think I like High and Dry. I mean, I just love the whole album, but yeah, I think High and Dry is, like, maybe my tops, if I had to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. It's a, like, I don't know, it's definitely an amazing song. The video is great too. Is that the one?
Yeah, and Just is like a great video. That's the one with the guy laying down on the street.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah.
I gotta check out all these videos.
Oh yeah.
Oh great, man. I think like even before I knew who Radiohead like where I saw the Just video and was like, what the hell is doubling back on like
The Bends. Yeah.
The Bends. No, what's the other Pablo Honey. That trailer, remember the first trailer for The Social Network with that kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was so good.
Yeah. Whoever cut that together, too, was a genius, though. They definitely should cut together all of Fincher's trailers. They probably do, though. Honestly, it's probably the guys who cut the movie, and they did Girl with Dragon Tattoo, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely the, like, that's...
No, I saw that first Social Network trailer in theaters. Floored everybody in that. Everybody was
right?
I would have watched the Facebook movie.
Exactly.
And I was like, holy shit, that looks good.
Yeah, man. It was... Well, because everybody, like... One of the things, too, I still remember so many people going, why would I want to watch a movie about Facebook? And then the trailer came out, and they were like, that's why you want to watch a movie about Facebook.
Looks amazing.
It was. David Fincher, like, he should definitely direct a Radiohead video.
No, he's too tight with Trent Reznor.
That's true. But, like...
They hang out on weekends, motorcycling together.
Motorcycling.
I don't know why.
Trent Reznor is the real Zodiac killer. Just gonna put that out there. I know. I got it from a guy.
It was David Fincher's love letter.
Yeah.
It was BFF.
Exactly.
I've now got the CD sleeve of The Bends out, and I'm just like glancing over it and looking at like even the lyrics to the song The Bends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of words. There's probably more words in that song than in all of like King of Limbs or something.
Well, like, yeah,
that's a very good point. Because I found like the later their albums gets more orchestral,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, especially like when I got to like the new one, A Moon Shaped Pool. It's there's just so many pieces playing at once.
It's similar to the way, like, I really don't want to compare Radiohead to Kanye West right now, but you know how his new album had so many people working on every song? I feel like that's what they've been working with since Kid A. Like, as soon as they started to do the whole instrument switch, like, even starting on OK Computer a little bit, I think their songs blur the line of, like, a group, and like you said, they're so orchestral because they have these huge groups of, like, layers on these songs, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like 17 tracks, 18 tracks.
It's like they let Johnny Green, like, it's like Johnny Greenwood turned into like John C. Reilly in the what's that movie where he plays the rock star?
Oh,
Dewey Cox. Cash.
Dewey Cox.
Gosh, right away it was like Dewey Cox.
Dewey Cox, yeah, exactly. So it's like so it's like John C. It's like when John C. Reilly goes crazy towards the like the middle of the movie, and he's like, "I want 40 trumpets and like a goat," yeah. You know? That's it's like Johnny Greenwood went crazy like that.
Yeah, man, Johnny. Like if I was, I don't know. I feel like Tom York too. Tom York's definitely the guy who'd be like, "I'd want 7 flutes on this song, and a harp." And like I would, if I was working for Tom York, I would definitely get those instruments. I would find those flutes and harps. I'd be like, yeah. Tom York needs them.
How many flutes is those? 6?
I said 7. Damn it! Yeah. Just destroys all the tapes. Like these are worthless.
Yeah, he destroys the master tapes. You never hear that song. I think that's what happens in between the albums Radiohead has. They just, they record, and Tom York just destroys it all because he's like, no, it's not good enough.
Wait, Raj and Dan, your favorite song on Pablo Honey?
Dan said High and Dry then.
No, that was the Bends.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You know what? I honestly just love the song, so I have to go with Creep. Gotta Creep, be that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's popular for a reason.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Anyone can play guitar.
Anyone can play guitar.
Yeah, like it's great.
Yeah, no, I like Creep, obviously, but I really enjoyed Blowout. I don't know why. I think it's maybe because the album ended. I'm not sure.
It's like, oh, this song, this signals that I can finally stop listening to Pablo Honey.
Oh, you're almost over.
Just wait, Sanjay. I'm going to freaking brainwash you with Radiohead. Like, in a couple of years, you're going to be like, Radiohead is definitely the greatest group of all time.
Like, I think this is the most is the most polarizing we've been in any of our episodes, apart from our Kanye episode.
Well, that's because it's Radiohead, and that's because you don't think Kanye is the patron saint of art.
He's a jackass who's pretty good at what he does.
I'm kind of with you on that. Definitely
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say, man. He runs the whole trash art.
Do you think that, like, we were talking about, like, the whole orchestral sound. Like, mm-hmm. to me, that really kind of started, or at least you could see, like, the winds changing in that direction with OK Computer.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, no hints of any of that on the Bends.
Nice segue.
Oh, not at all. Like you said, the Bends is so straight up rock. It's kind of like at the most it feels like they're a 5-piece group, right? But OK Computer, it's like it doesn't really feel like a group. Like it could be one guy just layering these sounds, or it could be like 35 people playing at the same time.
It's funny you should mention that, Dan, because the first note I made while listening to OK Computer was actually,
oh no, it didn't do it again.
No, I can hear you.
I can too. Maybe Dan can't hear us.
Oh, I think that's how it does it. Like, we hear him for the last bit, and he leaves us.
Okay.
Well, this is no fun.
Well, don't worry. Just continue. This is why we added.
Oh my god, he's back.
Oh, Mike, I have no idea what's going on with Skype.
That is okay. This is why we edit. I don't care,
but you're back, and this is awesome.
This is why we edit.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so Dan, the first note I made while listening to OK Computer was actually instrument heavy.
It yeah. is, like, it's a new sound, too. Like, mm-hmm. once again, like you said, the Bends was such a new sound. It's like they found their sound.
No, that's what I found. It was softer than their last two albums, too.
Oh, it was.
And I kind of like that a little bit. Maybe I'm getting older. I don't know.
I don't know, because like, Kid A is still soft, too, and, like, they kept getting softer at that point. Like, I don't know if they keep getting softer, but they're definitely softer after OK Computer and onwards.
But,
yeah.
But I definitely loved a lot of the songs on this album. Like, I actually made a note of a couple of the songs that I really liked. And there were a lot more songs than any of the other albums, so I guess OK Computer is my favorite album so far.
Yeah, I think...
To- I wanted to like listen to this album in particular today, like at my office before leaving. And I thought I would just kind of like skip through and just listen to like my really, really favorites, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. Every track is just, you know, so invaluable on that album.
Just every time you got to a track, you just didn't hit the next one.
It was like that. I'd be like hovering over it and I'd be like, no, I'm gonna let this one play out.
That's how I thought I was with Kid A today. I was playing that because I was like, you know, maybe I'll skip through it. And I ended up listening to the whole thing on repeat. I was like, oh, this is a great album. I don't know. Maybe I think, like, I don't want to say peak because I don't really... I'm starting less and less to believe in artist peaks. But I think if I had to pick a peak for Radiohead, I think it would be OK Computer and Kid A, kind of those two. I couldn't pick one, but kind of that time. Mm-hmm. And OK Computer, like, it shows with every track, like you're saying, it's not skippable because... It's like one of those things where it feels like every single touch they knew was going into that song before they even started recording. Like, it feels like everything was planned out perfectly. It's great.
Speaking about that, I wanted to ask you guys about this Ethan Hawke quote I read the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, whenever somebody does... Because you said you didn't believe in artist peaks, right?
Yeah.
And it just reminded me, he said that you need to judge every work on its own and not even compare it to the artist's previous work. Do you agree? Because it's so hard to do considering the artist evolves from his previous work.
Like, I think that would make it a lot easier to assess everything, but I don't necessarily agree because, like, I think the reason I don't believe in artist peaks is because I'm like I definitely like analyzing things, but I don't know if we need to assess it.
Fair enough. Okay. What about you, Dan?
I kind of like, I'm half and half. Mm-hmm. Like, I do agree that, you know, when they make OK Computer, they're different people than they were when they made the Bends, but it's still like part of their progression. So it's kind of hard to not look at any artist's albums or any musician's art albums and see where they fit into that timeline of.
Well, I was going to say, time especially makes it almost impossible to do that. Kind of one of the only things that's universal, so you can take the timeline.
Fair enough.
Because, like, as much as I said, I don't think we should try to assess them.
Mm-hmm.
I totally still do. Like, we're definitely talking about them on a podcast now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was like Ethan Hawke's way of like just trying to keep working because he's made some shitty movies lately.
Oh, good.
You know, like with OK Computer, again, because I've got the CDs in front of me. This is like, in terms of like their whole, you know, branding, the Radiohead package, like this is definitely like the start of it. You look at Hail to the Thief or anything and you're like, yep, that's the same designer. That's definitely the same kind of mentality.
Okay, yeah.
Well, all the way out to the new one too, A Moon-Shaped Pool is like, mm-hmm. exactly, just like you said, OK Computer, Kid A, like, I think that was the start of Radiohead as a brand, and that it makes sense too because that logo, the bear head, that's kind of when it came out, right? Was Kid A or was it
okay, Kid A? Yeah.
Okay, so still next album, but like there was kind of they had a look at that point, like Radiohead.
Did you guys find OK Computer was crazy different lyrically compared to like compared to the Bends? And compared to Pablo Honey,
I think for sure
the lyrics were so surreal and a little,
because Tom, angry. Tom York gets very like. I think he's probably gotten more angsty as time's gone on, but he's also got more
'90s anger to it. Because like, if you look at a lot of the art that came out in the late '90s, like American Beauty and all that, it's very angry stuff.
Oh, it is.
It's
for
all
sure.
It's all very frustrated stuff. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's kind of what OK Computer sounded like, too, lyrically.
And abstract, too. More abstract than either of the two albums before,
exactly.
Obviously.
Because they have some very surreal lyrics here and there, right? What are some songs you guys liked off this album?
Ooh.
All of them.
I know, it's really hard.
No, actually, like, the Bends is one where I can still kind of pick some favorites, but it's really hard to skip songs. Mm-hmm. But when I listen to OK Computer onwards, I don't really skip songs. OK Computer, Kid A, and Amnesiac. But those
I really
are
like, prob- yeah, like Kid- Let Down. Let Down and No Surprises to me.
Ooh, same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the second half of that album really kicks ass. Like I love Karma Police. I love I like Fitter Happier,
which is just weird, but yeah, it's like it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's almost like if there's one track in like their first three albums that should signal to listeners that okay, shit's gonna be going in a bit of a different direction. It's that. And then, like, them embracing their concept,
and they throw the craziest palate cleanser because the album kind of follows a theme throughout, and then you get to Electioneering, and it's like a bolt of lightning through the album because there's just so much energy in it.
Yeah.
Well, I think at this point they were like the best group kind of out, and like they definitely proved it time and time again. And OK Computer was one of those ones. Like after the Bend, people were like, okay, what's Radiohead going to do next? And they delivered, and they delivered huge. They were like, here is exactly what you thought nobody was going to do. So that's what we did.
And it shook up like kind of the whole like music scene across the world. Like it was nominated for Best Album at the Grammys.
Yeah, I think No, but if you look at the timeline too, I think it's the start of the shift into kind of the millennium music-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, the style completely switched, and you saw kind of what would be popular in the 2000s a little bit more. Really?
Because some of the songs in the early 2000s sucked. A lot of the songs, actually.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, you can say that about the 90s. You can say that about the 80s.
I do say that about the 90s sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. I definitely totally think like, that OK Computer is like one of the...
Rap's probably one of the best things to come out of the 90s.
Wu-Tang. You're just disrespecting rap right now with that. Like I might have to walk out. No, I said
out of the 90s. I'm disrespecting the 90s, if anything.
Yeah, but you're also throwing shade at rap, man. Don't do this.
I'm not throwing shade at rap. Let's relax, okay?
Like, maybe... I don't know. It's a good episode to do it because it's Radiohead, but still.
Are you picking a fight with both the East and the West Coast right now?
Yeah.
They will meet you in Toronto.
They will. They will.
you know what's funny to think about is that like OK Computer and Kid A are only 3 years apart.
Yeah, exactly. Like musically, it sounds like a fucking decade had passed.
And it's like because Kid A, I guess, hit in the year 2000, where it's just weird. Once you get that two in there, it's like, whoa, this is from the future.
Exactly. And I think that was part of the reason everybody didn't like how extreme it was. It was like, they were like, the millennium didn't happen. We didn't die. But, you know, if the computers did kill us, this Radiohead album is what it would have sounded like.
Yeah. No. It's because it's so eerie, like some of the music.
It's the apocalypse. It starts with everything in its right place, which is, I think, the most frustrated song Tom York ever wrote. And, like,
okay,
he's definitely a very frustrated man.
I heard this album, and as soon as I heard this album, I was like, okay, I immediately went, okay, this is the kind of music I could easily see in a PTA movie.
It's funny, because I think when, before PTA announced the music video, me and Dan, I think... Yeah. When the new album was announced, I was like, they're kind of like PTA. Like,
they oh, totally.
No, but that's the thing. So it kind of makes sense that Greenwood did inherit scores, after that and all that.
And like, Blood. Just
listening to this, it fits, you know? Like, I was listening to this and I was like, this could go into Punch Drunk and it would totally work.
And oh, look at the way he does the Master's score, too. It has that sense of atmosphere and eeriness.
Wait, Greenwood did the Master?
Dude, he did... Yeah. He's done everything since There Will Be Blood.
Jeez.
Okay. He did There Will Be Blood and then did everything else too.
Okay, I did not know that either. Damn it.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
That's why PTA did Janoon too. They like hang out.
Oh, yeah, no, I knew they hung out, but I didn't know he did There Will Be Blood. Christ. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking when you said Inherent. I was like, I love the Inherent score, but Greenwood's done some crazy shit. Yeah. When I heard There Will Be Blood, I was honestly even more impressed by Johnny Greenwood as a composer than I ever was before. Because, like, I was like, he doesn't need to know how to write to make the sounds on Kid A. He just has to be super in tune with his instrument. But, like,
first song you guys heard of Kid A?
Oh, Everything in Its Right Place.
Well, because when they released this, like, and I was oh God, how old was I? I was like 14 when this album came out, and like Much Music. Don't say it, Rajan. Don't make a crack about my age, buddy.
I was five, Dan.
Our friendship spans decades. But they didn't do the traditional like music video thing. They did these little blips where it was like 30 seconds of weird abstract imagery.
I still remember those. This was like my first computer thing too, where I was like, holy shit, this is the future. My parents let me on a computer and this is the noise and it's 30 seconds.
What is this, during commercials?
Sorry.
Yeah, it would kind of like, I think if I recall, like they'd play them kind of like commercials or leading up to a commercial break or something.
Okay.
They wouldn't come up with like a little like Blip One by Radiohead in the corner. But I think it's kind of interesting to me that you said you immediately liked it, because like the first song I would have heard is Everything in Its Right Place because it's track one. And I need to preface by saying that now I love this album. I love it. But the first time I listened to it, I just fucking hated it. I was like in my parents' van on like my Discman with a pair of headphones, being like, I finally got the album that the world's been talking about. And then, you know, however many minutes later, being like, oh, what? Am I not getting it? Is the whole world fucked except me? But that's kind of, I think that's where, you know, when
that's
I said
how
before
it turned out to be.
Yeah, when they like, you know, kind of make you have to dig into it a little more. And I think if you're just looking for surface music, Kid A might not be the best choice. But if you're wanting, I think it's just more rewarding as time goes on and the deeper you get into it.
Wait, maybe. So Dan, what do you think of the album now then?
Oh, I think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, it's a piece of art and a piece of great art. And I like, you know, I was listening because I listened to OK Computer, and then on the bus home to come meet up with you guys here, I put Kid A on, and I was kind of like surprised. Maybe it's just because I was listening more, but like there's still a lot of rock guitar throughout that album. Like,
yeah, there is. It's
crunchy
hidden
riffs
in there.
Going on.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because everything else, like there's so many layers that everything that you're not used to is just too overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But man, if you think you like it now, I have a feeling that you're going to like really, really get into it more and more over time. Probably I'd argue any of their other albums.
Oh.
Kid A might be the one that really sucks you into.
I think so too.
Its world. You know, I I'm flipping through the booklet and there's like all these amazing images, and I maybe still don't even know what it means. Like, is this where the album takes place in this, you know, weird sort of like, almost 16-bit world or whatever the hell it is?
I was going to say that could actually be it, because like they have kind of the Buddhist monk vibe going on, and like, I don't know. I definitely feel like Buddhist monks could live in mountains.
Speaking of which, album art's really coming back, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it was really dying at like mid-2000s and all that.
I don't think it was.
Shitty album covers.
I think we just had really shitty ones and everybody freaked out.
Really? I feel like
look at the
80s.
Look at the cover for Thriller, man. Michael Jackson's literally just lying down in a white suit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just get some bad covers.
Like The Life of Pablo. Okay, I'm lifting up the CD from the jewel case, and there's like underneath it, like there's still like there's the bears and they're holding guns and there's little sperms coming out of a pipe.
I thought they were shooting sperm out of the gun for a second. I was like, that's crazy.
Like maybe that was the aftermath, but they've got like there's just like scratched in here. It says you and your, there's all kinds of things, but it says you and your cronies. I believe that's part of the concept that they carried over. I think that's a line on Amnesiac. And yeah, it's in You and Whose Army. They're kind of like birthed from the same session, those two. They're still completely different.
Exactly.
They're like two brothers, you know. October of 2000, and then I think Amnesiac was June or July of 2001, I think.
Yeah. Oh. Amnesiac's actually like...
Man, I was so excited when I started this album. Because it just, like I said, I really loved the sound. I just didn't like the songs as much.
Okay, well, I think, like Dan was saying about Kid A, I think you're definitely, both of these are going to grow on you, too. Exactly like Dan said, Kid A is the most rewarding, like, thing to come back to over and over again. But just like Kid A, I think Amnesiac's something you kind of have to like let go of any expectation and just kind of let it take hold of you.
Well, I have to say, it's a huge shift from what they've usually done, from what I've heard so far. Like, huge.
And it even, is, like, more of a shift than Kid A in some ways, too.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, before we start on Amnesiac, what are your guys' favorite song off of Kid A?
Everything in Its Right Place.
Everything in Its Right Place?
It's my favorite Radiohead song.
It was your first song actually. And your favorite?
It's my favorite Radiohead song, period.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yes. Like, every time a Radiohead album comes out, I play it on repeat for about 6 weeks. Not even albums, just the one song. And I'm like, okay. But yeah, sorry. What are your guys' favorite songs?
I think, like, in the track listing, like, you can make the case for, like, any of them, I think.
Yeah.
But I would say maybe the National Anthem.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That one actually really stuck out for me. Like, I was just cleaning my room when I was listening to the album, and the National Anthem came on, and I was like, ooh, what's that? My ears perked up, you know?
It's kind of like the anthem for the anxious out there, I think of. Like, it's just so, like, I just want to put it on and start flailing around my room at times, you know? Turning it up and then, like, pounding on the ceiling. Take that, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, Kid A is one of the ones too, though. Like, if there's anything that might knock Everything in Its Right Place, like, I just love Kid A. Like, you can't hear what Tom York's saying. He's completely, like, indecipherable, and you have that cool, like, piano, like, super electric kind of, and then you have the very almost jungly beat to it too. It just sounds so lush.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely the other one for me, I think.
Wait, so I want you guys, being such big Radiohead fans, what do you guys think of Amnesiac as a follow-up to Kid A, considering you guys...
Actually, I don't know, because Kid A and Amnesiac are tied for me. They're kind of like Dan said, they're brothers, and I almost put them as like identical twins. Like, I'm like, I definitely shouldn't think of you as one person. You're both two separate human beings, but I definitely do. That's how I feel about these albums. Like,
fair enough.
You know, like, okay, like, I don't know. I'm looking at the tracks here again, and, you know, it kicks off, I think, with Packed Like Sardines in a Crushed Tin Box, which I love.
Yes.
But to me, the album as a whole, and I love the album, it's almost like that's the album where the people who are really going to commit and go along with this band, like, that's where the line is drawn in the sand. So, you know, Kid A, they were like the talk of the town. They're like the world's band, and what a great thing are they going to do? And like, I don't know if you remember this, but like, Kid A debuted at number one on the Billboard charts, and then when Amnesiac came out, it debuted at number two, but it sold better in its first week than Kid A did.
Yeah,
and then it dropped.
I still remember. Yep.
Because I think that was the people like, all right, we're into Radiohead, and then they hear Amnesiac, and they're like, or are we?
Yeah, exactly. No, I totally think so, because even my uncles, like, some of them went along with Radiohead the whole way, but my mom's brother, actually, when Amnesiac came out, he had the same thing. He loved the first song, and I still remember I was actually there when he listened to it the first time, and Pyramid song came on, and he's like, I'm never listening to this album again. And I was like, what? Wow. I was like, this is crazy. But I totally agree with Dan's comment. It's kind of where you're drawing the line in the sand. It's like, are you really going to go along with Radiohead?
You thought Kid A was weird and like pushing you away from what the sound that we had made over the last three records? Well, here's Amnesiac to really show you what that's about.
This one was crazy. Also, I really enjoyed Like Spinning Plates.
Yeah.
It was a fun song.
I would list the whole album. Dollars and Cents for me is great too.
Yes.
And it's an album like this where it's really hard. You know, I know there's obviously the five band members, and they all obviously are contributing a lot. But then when you think of, like, okay, Colin Greenwood, guitarist, you listen to some of these songs, I'm like, fuck, were there guitars on that? Is that a guitar? Is that just distorted to shit?
Dude, yeah, exactly. It's like, what are they doing? And do you know what's funny? A lot of the songs were guitars credited, too. They just played a couple bars and then looped it and spread it out and shrunk it and stuff. So.
And maybe this word just popped into my head because, like, again, I'm looking at the booklets. But all the art is it's collage art. And the album, like a lot of the sounds, it is kind of like they're making just a collage.
No, that's exactly what it is. I think it's their most kind of Brian Eno, David Bowie, like not Bowie's whole career, but his electronic phase. Like it's their most kind of in that direction album where it's super experimental and it's a collage of sounds. Like you said, collage is the perfect word. Like,
in your brief time with it, Sanjay, like what do you think of it?
Yeah.
Of Amnesiac. Well, it was like this weird. Amnesiac actually felt like that trip down the rabbit hole, you know? Okay, like, have you seen that Val Kilmer movie, which is like a spoof?
I haven't.
I forget what it's called.
Oh, are you thinking Top Secret?
Yeah, Top Secret. Top Secret. That's the one.
I've seen that.
Okay, you know that scene where, like, they're speaking backwards and the whole scene's going backwards, but they're moving forward?
Yeah.
That's what this album felt like.
Yeah. Wow.
That is a good explanation, though. Like, if I was ever trying to prep someone to listen to this album, that's probably the best way you can get them to actually be ready.
Dan, I told you, this is the only thing I'm good for.
That's not the only good thing. Like,
putting weird movie images in your head.
Oh, man. I love it, though.
Anytime you reference Val Kilmer, I do die a little inside.
That was when they're in their prime. Man.
Yeah, when people were buying CDs.
And there's all kinds of crazy art and
CD towers were an actual piece of furniture you needed.
God, yeah.
So weird. We're talking about Amnesiac. Like, that was 2001. I distinctly remember this. I was like 6. This is really weird. Like, that was a long time ago.
But in terms of favorite song, I think I really, really, really love Pyramid Song.
Okay.
But I think Packed Like Sardines in a Crushed In Box is just like this big, like, fuck you if you're not going on with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, exactly. Get off my case, like you keep saying.
Exactly. It's like, there's no better way to describe that song. It's like, hey, man, either you're with us or you're not. You might as well turn the CD off now.
But if this is your favorite album, is there, like, which one is your favorite track on it, though?
No, I don't really have favorites on this one.
Come on, like, Ryzen.
Like, for Kid A, it's everything in its right place in Kid A, but here it's literally, like, I just listen to it. Like, I don't even distinguish the songs when I'm playing it. I don't think I've skipped a song on this album in a good 5 years, at least. Every time I listen to this album, it's just start to finish.
What's your favorite?
Mine?
Yeah, man.
Off Amnesiac?
Packed.
Yeah, no, it's Packed or Like Spinning Plates. I had a lot of fun with those two songs.
Yeah, Like Spinning Plates is really cool.
Yeah, even I thought Life in the
you
Glass
actually
House
hear that record player sound, right? It actually just feels like that record player going backwards.
Yeah. Shit. 2001. Yeah. Wow.
And then it's Hail to the Thief.
This was actually probably the least. Like, this was probably the most I was ever underwhelmed by Radiohead. Like,
I could tell, because when I said I enjoy Hail to the Thief, Dan was like, really?
Yeah, so was I kind of in my head, because it's like, it is one of those ones where you'll, it feels like you'll get it first, the first time more compared to the other ones. I don't know, I just said my favorite's Amnesiac, right? So I was expecting the weirdest shit ever. I was like, give me more weird. Continue the weirdness. You're giving me life. But then they gave me kind of their most accessible record. I was like, come on, guys. You're definitely weirder than this.
Maybe that's why I enjoyed it, especially after, like, the first listen.
I think so, especially because you weren't huge
on everything I've heard so far. You know?
Because you weren't huge on Kid A or Amnesiac, too. So you're kind of like, let me get back to this. Because it's not like you had the years in between like me and Dan had when we listened to these albums either. You're starting one, then starting the next one. So it's kind of like a palate cleanser almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of how electioneering was in the middle of.
How did you feel about Hail to the Thief came out, Dan?
Tell us.
And it's not even that I dislike it, because I'm looking at the tracks and I'm like, oh, how can I hate on it? I really love A Punch Up at a Wedding and Myxomatosis and A Wolf at the Door. That's
A Wolf at the Door is amazing.
And they're like, I mean, I would love to use A Wolf at the Door in a movie sometime. I just, I think it's perfect, but I think
that's mine and Sanjay's cue to write that movie.
Character one, it's a wolf. And I think it's because you know, when I think of it, this one to me is the second half is a lot stronger than the first half.
Yeah.
And I think
sorry, continue.
No, I couldn't really get my, like, sink my nails into much of, like, Backdrifts. What the hell is, I can't even tell you what that song is. I'm sure it's, I'd hear it and be like, oh yeah, this track, but it doesn't, it didn't give me a lot for me to hook my nails into. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The first one that I kind of, the only song on the first half that I kind of really, like, really still dig is the first one, 2+2.
Yeah. I do think that's a good opener.
Yes.
Yeah.
It builds. It starts a bit, you know, soft, and then by the end of the track, you're totally with it.
Yeah. Like, it's almost atmospheric, and then something breaks through that atmosphere. It's really cool.
But Dan, going back to what you said earlier, are you just saying that it's not something you can, like, listen to over and over again?
I don't find it as rewarding on repeats, like, listens. If I would never want to, you know, break it up from the family, but if I had to pick one album where I'm going to start, like, flipping through tracks, it would probably be this one.
No, it makes sense. Because for me, too, because that's what separates a good movie for me from a really good movie. Mm-hmm. If I can watch it again and again, right?
It felt almost like it was the first time Radiohead was ever like, we know what the fans want, let's do that. I just don't think it was kind of what I wanted after Amnesiac. Because like I said, Amnesiac was my favorite, right? So I was expecting huge stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also, I think, too, a lot more, like, politically minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
If the other two were more about, like, their experimentation and growth, you know, as musicians and creating these new soundscapes, Hail to the Thief would have been like, okay, guys, let's just, we're going to, like, go to a rally for a little bit, and then we'll get back to our thing.
Totally. You can sense it in Tom York's lyrics. It's the first time he's been distinguishable in a long time. You can hear his voice and what he's saying on every single track.
But that kind of goes with the whole Art of Our Time kind of thing we talked about earlier, right? Because like, you had everybody, you had, like, Michael Moore doing...
Yeah.
Fahrenheit 9/11 and all that.
Oh, well, exactly. Like, the world was kind of in a weird place in 2003. You got 9/11, and you also still have one of the biggest war criminals to ever run the states running them.
Was that 2003? Like, Hail to the Thief?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, it was.
And, yeah, and that's kind of like, you can tell, like, Tom York. It's kind of the most I've ever seen him talk about problems that almost, like, it was the first time I kind of related to him where politically, like, it seemed like kind of Canadian people had the same worries as Tom York for once. It seemed like, you know, it was like almost like, oh, maybe it almost sounds like Tom York's complaining about the same things my dad complains about when he reads the newspaper. Like, that's what it felt to me then. Came out.
Dan, is the artwork any good on the...
On Hail to the Thief?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... Yeah, it's really cool, but it's certainly like they've got all these buzzwords that they're throwing at you, like, all throughout it. I've actually got a book. I'm going to get his name wrong. I think it's Stanley Donwood, their designer that they've worked with since, like, the Benz. Yeah, Stanley Donwood. He made a book called Dead Children Playing, and it's just, like, collections of the art that he made around the Hail to the Thief time. And it's a lot of, like, this very... It's a very colorful album. It's a greens, reds, blues, lots of primary colors, maybe I should say.
I just out of concern and curiosity, are there any dead children playing?
Well, let me get the magnifying glass out here.
Don't talk about dead children, even if they are.
They would just
Rajan, so many rules. Don't talk about domestic abuse. Don't talk about dead children.
Let them rest in peace, Sanjay.
Rest in peace. Although I just flipped open to this one page. And they've got all these words, and the first word I read was fucker. So
that's great.
Flea bitten, moth eaten. Like, yeah, there's a bit of anger in there.
Yeah.
Okay. This just makes sense. Standard.
It's funny how it came out before Fahrenheit 9/11, which I think came out in the summer of 2004.
Yeah. Because
they both feel very, like, like-minded.
Well, it's very anti-Bush, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and maybe that's like a bit reductive because, I mean, like, Hail to the Thief, I really like this, like, when they sing those lyrics, but the title is like, okay, It's this is their at them at their most obvious, if anything.
Yeah,
Nail to the Thief in 2003. Like
that,
who are they
that's what
about?
I wanted to say too was that the kind of politicalness. Like I don't need Thom Yorke to be indistinguishable. I mean, personally, I love it when he's not actually like when you don't know what words he's saying. But I don't need that. But like it's I kind of wanted something more cryptic and more personal almost.
Then. Yeah. But what are you guys like? What are your favorite songs off Hail to the Thief? Now that we
I think you nailed it with A Wolf at the Door, because for me it's 2+2=5 or A Wolf at the Door, and I think I'm more partial to A Wolf at the Door. It just sounds so spectacular almost.
No, for me it was 2+2=5.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Do you like They're There? Because I think as a single, They're There, and that's probably why they tricked a bunch of people into buying the album. Because They're There is like much more, everyone was like, oh, when's Radiohead going to get back to rock? And There, that's pretty much the closest thing to like an Okay Computer, the Benz era rock song.
I love that you called it tricking people into buying.
No, I actually think he's right too, because at that time a lot of people were. They were like, when are they getting back to guitar rock? And when this album came out, people were even like, this is their return to guitar rock. And I think exactly Dan nailed it. Like when There came out, they were like, oh, it must be guitar rock.
Yeah. And Hail to the Thief sold like over 300,000 copies in its first week, so it definitely that might have just been like the anticipation of like Radiohead fans who would, as we would do it, like listen to anything, but also probably like they're well, it's a great song and a very very interesting music video.
It is.
It's shout out to Paul video. Jensen for showing that in film theory class.
But damn it, I haven't seen it.
Shout out to Paul Jensen.
Did you guys get caught up? Were you even like aware of like the whole In Rainbows surprise release thing? Like,
well, I definitely was, man. It was,
honest to God, I didn't even know In Rainbows existed. Like, I went through all of it, and I had to go back to In Rainbows today because I was like, "Holy shit, I missed an album." The only thing I heard about In Rainbows, which I thought was really cool, was they did it was the first time they did this pay what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I paid $4.
Damn.
I still remember. I was like, I'll give you $4, Radiohead.
The year was that 2007 it came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I paid them like $0. But I still went through the process on their website of
Man.
Really? I can say zero?
Okay. Yeah, man. Like it was so fun.
You just had to see if it worked, huh?
I kind of did.
Yeah.
And I was broke.
Well, it makes sense. I don't know why I gave them $4 specifically, but I always remember that I gave them $4 and 50 cents.
Raj is just holding a bunch of quarters. He's like, I got this many for you.
Yeah.
Putting them into
Now that I think about it, that might be the reason. I think my mom was legit like, how much money do you have? That's how much we're putting in with my credit card. And I was like, $4.50. Radiohead gets $4.50.
That whole like, that was the OG like surprise release. Like before Beyonce and Drake and everybody else decided to just drop, you know, on a whim. In Rainbows broke that mold, and I think that like really, at least at the time, maybe raised them up in like the public conversation a little bit more.
I was going to say, and the pay what you owe thing, it was like people who didn't even listen to Radiohead were all of a sudden like, these guys have integrity even if I don't like their music.
I really liked 15 Step.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah.
Wonderful intro, too. Like, I think it's such a cool place to pick up after you end an album with A Wolf at the Door.
Yeah, it's a great opening song. Also, like, I found that lyrically, it felt like a weird callback to OK Computer.
Yeah. Well, I think it's
in kind terms of just like how they approach the lyrics, not even the actual lyrics.
I was gonna say, In Rainbows was very much like, you know, the Facebook movie was coming out, and In Rainbows came out, and you had to buy it on the computer, and you pay what you want.
Well, even the cover has this like coding.
Yeah, the backslashes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you said that you kind of like forgot about it and had to go back. Like, is it one of your least favorite?
No. I'm glad I went back, actually.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't miss out on this. Because sometimes when Rajan and I do this, like, sometimes the later you go in albums, like, especially with Bowie, like, when you got to the 90s stuff, it was it just felt like work listening to the albums. So I was afraid.
Because you have to chase them.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to chase him. You're like, where is he? And there's so many of these albums by the time you get to the 90s. Thank God Radiohead only has 7 albums.
I thought it was going to feel like work, and it wasn't. By the time I got, like, Hail to the Thief, I enjoyed it, but it was starting to feel like work because, again, it got comfortable, right? Like, In Rainbows didn't feel like work again because when you hear something you'd never heard before, you always try to make sense of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that kind of engages you. So I guess it's nice when, I guess that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. Or I guess that's what you look for usually in art anyway, is for it to engage you in any way, like make you feel.
I actually get offended when artists make me feel. I'm like, how dare you bring up an emotion I didn't. How dare you?
I'm trying to lock it all me, up.
Manipulate me with art. Son of a bitch.
Those tears belong in my eye, Doc.
Yeah.
Favorite song?
Dan, what's your favorite off In Rainbows?
Yeah, favorite song.
My favorite track? Oh, yes. Wow. Wow, holy shit.
Yeah,
oh,
that's God. What I'm trying to think already. I'm like, what is it?
If I had to pick one, I think Reckoner.
Ooh. Okay, that's a good one for sure.
What about you guys? What do you think?
I'm trying to... I think maybe for me, Jigsaw Falling Into Place.
Yeah, I'm still a simple man. For me, it's still 15 Steps.
Oh, man, that's a great... I mean, fuck.
It's... Yeah, that was one of the other ones I was thinking of.
Simple Man, a good man. Shit. I really like, you know, I really love the last song on the album, Videotape, as well. Even though it's so depressing.
But it's so good. It was one of the ones I was thinking. King of Limbs. Like,
I know, we're almost there, guys.
Yeah, what did you feel about King of Limbs, Dan? Because like,
they took 4 years to do, like...
Yeah, 2011.
They took 4 years from... Hail from to the Thief
to In Rainbows, then In Rainbows. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think they're super flighty as a band too. You know what I mean? So they're looking to change up their sound, like not just to change up their sound, but they genuinely want to play new sounds when they play music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's why every kind of 4 years is kind of what they've gotten into now.
You can really hear like Tom York's love of electronic music in The King of Limbs.
You can. And
do you remember when it came out? Because like this is a funny. I was in Mexico, mm-hmm. and without like any, I turned my phone off and I had no like internet access. I remember once we were like flying out, I was trying to catch up on like news or something from like the start of the week. I was like, holy shit, Radiohead announced a new album, and then by the time I got to Friday, I was like, holy shit, it's out now. Like, it's this fast turnaround thing. It's just kind of their new, well, everything moves so fast these days that they're just trying to, you know.
Would you say it's their shortest album?
I think it is.
Tracks wise it is.
Yeah.
Is it length wise?
It feels like it.
It's like a 40-minute album.
Yeah.
Oh, then it definitely is 100%.
Yeah.
It seems to be like the least liked though, generally amongst people. And like, I didn't really love it when it first came out, but I certainly really like it now.
Yeah, I like it as time went on. I was gonna say, after In Rainbows, like I was actually kind of disappointed. Like I was like, and I love this sort of electronic music though, ambient noise, and it's kind of soothing, you know what I mean, even though it's really busy.
Well, you also got more guitar in this album.
Yeah,
technically.
Technically,
I mean, granted it's acoustic, but you got more guitar.
Yeah, I don't know, like I don't understand why it's not as well, like, because it, like, it's super well done. Like, I think actually I like it as much as In Rainbows now, probably.
Oh, wow.
Maybe not, because In Rainbows is In Rainbows. Just like, and what the hell? When it came out, it's like the greatest. But I love this sort of electronic music so much. And songs like Lotus Flower, like, I don't know. Yeah. I can listen to them all day.
Oh, I love Lotus. You guys have seen the video for that, right?
No.
Yes. Sanjay, you have to watch every Radiohead video when we hang out.
That's
your homework.
So Lotus Flower is just like, I think it's got a whole new level of like internet fame just because of how he dances.
Yes, it did. He was
he's always danced like that, but now we've just got like a full video of just that.
Well, like when the video broke out, it was cool to dance like Tom York for a bit because it was weird.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's got a little hat. It's like he's, you know, it's like he's dancing exactly like you would dance if you thought nobody was watching.
I think that's where Chris Martin gets that from too. This isn't the only thing, The Benz isn't the only thing he stole.
Holy shit, Tom Radiohead. York gives no fucks.
And he almost kind of moves like Michael Stipe at times.
He does! Holy shit.
Yeah. And I mean, I love REM, and obviously, like, they were influences on the band and toured with them and stuff, but yeah, that dancing, man. I
think it's the awkward... The awkward, yeah. Angsty white dude thing.
Has the rest of the band reacted to this video?
I don't think the rest of the band's ever reacted to anything. I don't think Johnny Greenwood's facial expression has changed since his birth. Look, actually, that was during the PTA documentary. I kept looking to see if his face would change, right? Or he would not slouch for a second. Never once has his channel.
I'm sorry. I really want to thank you guys for this video. Like, I'm not even listening to the song right now. I'm
don't
just playing
thank
it on
me
mute.
Thank Radiohead.
Tom York is just going crazy on my screen.
It's glorious, just bask in it. Oh, man. And there's something like, what, 36 million views on YouTube?
Yeah
it's huge.
No,
what
man
do you think of the album though, Sanjay? Do you like the King of Limbs?
Yeah, because I don't know.
You know, I love how you guys are talking to me as a person who's never heard a lot of Radiohead before. It's like I'm really special. It's like, CJ, how did you
like
the
you
King
know,
of Limbs?
It's like, well, yeah.
Did it feel good in your ears, Sanjay? Did you like that one? No, but like, as someone who's really cramming over the past 4 days, like, how do you feel like, does it stand out or in any way more than maybe like... in Rainbows to you?
It stood out like crazy. For me, like, King of Limbs was the last album before a Moon-Shaped Pool, right?
Yeah.
So, like, in my head, Moon-Shaped Pool didn't even exist while I was listening to King of Limbs, because, like, I had to picture it as the last Radiohead album before this was coming out, right? Because if you were a Radiohead fan, that would be your thought. This could be the last Radiohead album. So, like, would I be okay with this being their final album? And you know what? It's so outrageous that it's so outrageous, but it's still so rich in the fact that, like, I keep finding new things in each song that I would totally be okay if this was the last Radiohead album. It would.
That's a cool thought.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, when it came out, people were like, maybe they'll be gone. I was definitely not okay with it. I was like, I don't care how... You could have put out Kid A again, and I would have... More Radiohead, guys. Like, that was my reaction. But yeah, sorry.
Wait, no, what
that's
was...
That's so awesome.
Like, what was your initial reaction to the song?
Oh, no, it's just like you. I thought it was really deep, but, like... I think, you know how Dan was saying this one doesn't get brought up much? I think it was literally because people were worried that Radiohead might break up. And even if it was a great album, like, you're kind of caught up with, like, you know, Radiohead might be no more. So it kind of, it got a little bit more thrown to the wayside than it should have, I think, because of that very reason.
Well, it was really cool because they were actually still experimenting. What's interesting about that was they were still kind of keeping with the time, because you can kind of hear some dubstep here and there.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So, but they're still experimenting, like I said, with all these crazy ambient noises and, like, environmental stuff, you know, it's just...
And sampling and looping, like, they recorded a lot of it like that.
Yeah, they were sampling and looping themselves, too, most of it.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. They
Kanye'd themselves.
Yeah,
Dan, what was your initial reaction to the album?
I really don't think I liked it when I first heard it. And I think part of that is just because, like, I was maybe expecting my mind to be, like, in Rainbows blown again.
Yeah.
And it took me a lot longer to come around to the King of Limbs than it did the others. Like, for the longest time, it was kind of like the bastard child in their discography of the newer music, the new millennium. But I really now have, like, a much greater appreciation for it, and I just really, like, love. So it's one that I probably play honestly almost more often than some of their other ones.
Would you say it's because it's more electronic?
Maybe. You know, I've never really thought of it that way. I kind of gave up trying to, like, slap a label or a genre on them. But it is totally, more electronic.
Do you have a favorite song on it, Dan?
I think my favorite song on it is Give Up the Ghost.
I was actually, that's my one other than Lotus Flower.
Yeah, I actually, I wrote a script and actually like referenced Give Up the Ghost in it.
I think you've told me this.
Actually. Yeah.
That is a cool. I like Morning Mr. Magpie too.
It's such
Oh yeah.
I forgot such that was on that album. Fuck that.
Yeah, such a cool little one.
Just saying, I saw that song title in the album and I was like, that's a very Beatles title.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you guys think of a moon-shaped pool?
Oof. We're here.
Yeah.
We're today.
We're today.
5 years. Five long. If what, February 2011 to May 2016?
Yeah.
I'm glad that I don't have to keep like refreshing Google News to see the term Radiohead to see if something new's come out.
When Burn the Witch came out, you remember how I said In Rainbows when it came out was kind of the most a Radiohead album affected me?
Yeah.
Like on first listen, Burn the Witch was definitely the most I'd ever been grabbed by a Radiohead single since those little blips.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, when I saw that video, I was like, this is everything I wanted to do as a child when I first saw the blips, and I was like, that's the art I wanted to make.
Yeah.
Like, the claymated stuff, the references to The Wicker Man, and I can't remember the name of the other British film right now, but there's two of them at least they reference.
I want to say it's like, no, not The Crucible, but something with a C.
Yeah, it's something like that.
No, and seriously, this album, honestly, guys, like, one word review of the album, what would you say?
Radiohead.
not bad, very to the point.
I feel like that's what Tom York would say if you asked him,
and it's really accurate.
Yeah, well, it was so like it's kind of got a little bit of everything they've done at this point, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, holy shit, honey, they brought the like, orchestral part back.
Well, yeah, you got some of the weird sounds from even, like, Kid A and Amnesiac, too. You got even, like, the OK Computer-ish elements, like you're saying, the orchestral sound. And even just the way they use computer sounds again, kind of as, like, percussion. There's a little bit of that again.
Yeah, no, I started this album and, like, walked over to my kitchen to, like, get some dinner ready, get some, like, lunch ready the other day.
Yeah.
And then I heard, like, Burn the Witch start, and I immediately ran back to the room.
Yeah,
stubbed my toe on the freaking table. Worth it.
You were like, it's okay, Radiohead.
Worth it. Yeah. Holy shit. I was so excited.
The sound of it was such a journey. Like, it goes so far from track to track without ever feeling like they're skipping something. You know what I mean? It just kind of flows into all these new weird sounds that are even weird for Radiohead. Like, it's...
Exactly. You know, it's funny. The album, I was listening to it. The best way I could describe it, honestly, it felt like a world... Just when you go from The Burning Witch to Daydream, there's just so many moods and like,
yeah, totally.
There's just so many highs, lows, and just ambiences, and then suddenly you're in a different tone, and it just feels like, but they all feel connected, like it's all one world, you know.
Totally, and
just getting like different parts of it, really.
Like you saw the PTA Daydreaming video, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like that video could almost, in a way, work be for the album. Whole album. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
exactly.
Through the Doors and then like even the hole at the end. Like, it's that's kind of how I felt. Like, I was like, I'm going.
This is why we need Dan, by the way. He puts everything so eloquently.
Oh, you guys. Doing anything next week? It's.
Oh, please. Come on.
I was thinking about like the one word thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if I would have, on a first listen, said this, but. Now, like, to me, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it's maybe, like, you know, maybe their only album that I would use that, full album that I would use that word to describe. I think there's something kind of vulnerable feeling about it, too, despite how much is going on and all the orchestras and weird sounds. Like, it feels like while doing this, they're also opening up a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And, you know, I listened to it and I really did feel like it did flow together well and that it was taking me on a journey and not just, here's a bunch of things, hope you like them. Well, and
sorry.
But feeling that and like you picking up on it as well. And then I realized afterwards that the songs are listed in alphabetical order.
Exactly. Which is why I was curious because I've only heard this twice now. And I thought it flowed pretty well. And then when I read that and I was like, that's crazy. Cause,
that's sort of weird too, though. Because like, wasn't
Which kind of fits with this.
A lot of the time, the first two songs on their albums are their first two singles, so I didn't even realize it was alphabetical until right now. I totally thought that was just the way Thom Yorke planned it.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of like gels with what we said about it all feeling like it's just all part of the same world, right?
Yeah.
It's just totally. it's
a moon-shaped pool, man.
Yeah, there's clearly like a vein running through all these songs.
Yeah. There's a mood, there's a feeling, something.
And for the first time, maybe I almost feel like that vein that you said, that vein might be connected to Thom Yorke's heart. Because I think that this is the his most heartbroken.
No, album. I actually think so, because when I heard the album full way through, it reminded me of Everything in Its Right Place, just kind of that feeling of like when Everything in Its Right Place first came out. I guess maybe then I didn't feel it as much, but over time it's kind of felt like Thom Yorke even more than Radiohead to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was connected to specifically how he was feeling, like his soul. Yeah. And I totally feel that about A Moon-Shaped Pool. That's a really cool point, because I probably wouldn't have said it otherwise, but like I totally feel that exact same way. Like it feels more necessarily connected to Thom Yorke than any of Radiohead's albums I've heard.
And there, wow. And like the just the way that the sounds and like everybody's playing a part, it really feels like this is like a whole band making this album. And that, you know, if I were to picture it, I picture like these four guys being like, okay, this is what Tom's got going on, and we are going to help lift him up together.
Yeah, okay. Like, so it's like it actually feels like the band's back to you guys.
Yeah, like not that I think they ever went away, but yeah, you know, somebody planted the idea in my head of like, well, what if this is their last album? I really, really don't want it to be. I don't, not just because I love them, but because I want to see where they're gonna go.
Yes.
Well, were you guys aware that like a lot of these songs they've kind of been playing together or playing live or in some capacity for in some cases 20 years?
No, I didn't know
that. That's I think it's, how many tracks are on the album? Like 11?
Yeah.
I think something like, you know, 7 or 6 of them, you could take a title and be like, okay, this song was, you know, the nerds on the internet tell me, this song was originally called this when you played it live at these two shows during this leg of the tour. And so someone, I don't know, one of the, you know, knee-jerk reactions to the album I read was, they've run out of ideas.
I saw that, but I didn't. Yeah, know
they're
it was
just
for that
like
reason.
They're just like taking these things that they had sitting around because they have nothing else to do, and I don't think that's fair.
No, I don't think so either.
Because every band has material that they work on for years.
Well,
look
at like even
hell, man, stand-up comedians work on material for years,
right? You know, like I'm not gonna get like pissed off at Jerry Seinfeld for doing a joke that I saw on like YouTube. That's
which he does
material.
Do.
Yeah, it's true. like they didn't release these songs, you know, on The King of Limbs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They could have.
When in theory, they could have. Yeah,
because there's only 8 tracks on that album.
Is it really King of Limbs? Only 8?
Yeah, 8 tracks.
Yeah.
Well,
but at least 10.
Well, even this one too. This one's got like 11, right?
Yeah.
So do you guys have favorite songs off this one?
Yes.
I think I do. What's yours,
Sanjay? Mine? Or Sanjay?
Yeah. Sanjay. Yeah, what you say, man? Give us a quick yes.
Okay, for me, I really like the Tinker Tailor song.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
What about you, Dan?
I don't know the whole name yet.
No, I have a fake Tinker Tailor, Soldier Sailor.
Then Something Thief.
That's 4 words. That's enough for a song title. you know, maybe it's just because I've heard them more because, you know, playing the videos on repeat. But I really love Burn the Witch and Daydreaming.
Yeah.
But I think that True Love Waits might be my favorite. And I started to pick up on, and whether this was their intention or not, like, doesn't matter. This is how I started to see it. But I was like, the theme of that vulnerability that comes when you have your heart broken. Yeah. I'm aware of the fact that he's separated from his partner of 23 years.
Wow.
And that helps in some ways, like, you know, at the end of Daydreaming, in the video, I know when he finally gets to the cave and it's just weird sounds when he's about to hibernate.
Yeah.
I had to look this up, but apparently what he's saying is played backwards, and he's saying half of my life. He's 47. They were together 23 years. So
I didn't realize that half of my life thing, but I've totally thought of it as kind of Tom York's breakup album the whole way through. Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe why I said, like, at the start when we were like examining the ink blot test or whatever that is, like, it just kind of looked like a human heart to me.
Dan? Did we lose Dan again?
Yes.
But he's back.
Oh, never mind. He's here.
This, oh, buddy, this we thought we lost you. By
Skype. No, it's funny because I actually just like stopped and thought for a minute, and then I was like, am I on or in for my answer? But Rajan, what do you think is their best?
I have a weird, like, I think Kid A, but I think it actually goes the distance simply because it's so out there. Like, I think album to album, if I was going to pick my most important album ever, I might actually pick Kid A, even though I like Amnesiac more personally. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because I think there's sounds in Kid A that we haven't figured out how to do in pop music that, like, 50 years down the road, people are finally going to understand how to rip off Kid A, and they're going to start then. Like, that's how ahead of its time this album is. So it's like that's the Bible to me. It's prophetic.
That's a good blurb about that. I like that.
I like them too, yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. You guys make it sound like I'm actually eloquent.
All right, boys. Favorite.
Yeah. Yes. Oh. So we started with Sanjay last time. Dan, how about we start with you? What is your favorite album?
My favorite album.
Not even by Radiohead. We're just talking ever.
No. Oh, God. I'm going to need a bit longer to think about that. Yeah. You know what? Because I think, like, just how I started getting into music, The Bends really stands up as, the rock lover. But I really think Kid A. Okay. I'd say Kid A is my favorite.
Cool.
Damn. Raj, I think I already know the answer, but...
Yeah, it's Amnesiac.
Okay, did not see that coming.
What about you? What's your favorite?
Yeah, man.
Ooh, okay, let's see.
He's now looking to see which album that song was on.
Yeah, I think I missed a Radiohead album.
Well, I think right now my favorite's the new one.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
I like that.
Because that one's, it's kind of like they've drawn from the well of everything they've done. And also, at the same time, dug up a new well. So, yeah, no. Also, by the way, since we're on Radiohead, what's your favorite Johnny Greenwood soundtrack?
Oh.
Probably There Will Be... I don't know, because the master's so eerie. Yeah, but, like, There Will Be Blood's so epic.
Yeah, I think There Will Be Blood. That's the one that I bought the CD and would, like, drive around in my car listening.
Have you guys ever heard there's an MF Doom song with Radiohead?
Hold on, Dan, what are you doing listening to the There Will Be Blood soundtrack in your car?
Murdering, right?
Are you going all No Country on people right now, man?
It's just all my road rage.
That would have been like a great scene in No Country, though, if, like, on the way to murdering someone, what's his name? Listening to the There Will Be Blood soundtrack in his car.
I like to roll up next to young moms with their kids in, like, the strollers and yell, "Bastard in the basket!" And just peel out.
That's literally the best answer we could
open. Oh my God. All right, so what song would you guys want to end this episode on?
Song?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Dan, any suggestions? What song would you like to... What do you think would be a fitting end to this episode?
Burn the Witch.
Burn the Witch?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
It was like the only two I was really thinking was Burn the Witch or Everything in Its Right Place, and Burn the Witch.
Anyway, Dan, you want to sign us out?
Sure.
We're done, right, guys? We're done.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for having me on, you guys. This has been a blast.
No,
Dan. Thanks for coming on, Dan.
Yeah, no, Dan, you make us honor. Better podcasters. You make us sound professional.
Oh, you guys, now you're now. Oh, we'll have to do this again sometime. This has been a blast. I love listening to you guys, and I just love chatting with you. So this is the best of both worlds for me.
No, this is great, guys. By the way, this is Dan Nichols. He's an up and coming.
He is young Sid Lumet.
Yes. He's an up-and-coming talented director that we're keen on working with. At the very least, that in the
should
future.
Be his Twitter handle. Yes. Follow him at young Sid Lumet.
Or, for now, at Dan Nichols with two L's on
yes,
Twitter.
Yes.
Includes
yes.
links to my my projects and my writing. I also write about film for a couple of publications.
Oh, yeah, Dan, you do you have a script in a competition or anything?
Kind of. I've submitted a script to a couple, so you know, it's one of those things where the competitions are months until they announce. But
oh, wow.
If you're listening to this and then reading a script that might have my name on it, if it's Nichols with two L's, that's me.
Yes. And I'm sure you understand how brilliant this man is, so give him a chance. How dare you?
Thanks.
Well, guys, thanks for listening to that podcast thing we do. This was Dan Nichols on our show. And Rajan.
And
Radiohead.
Yeah. And I guess that's good night.
Well, we don't know if people are going to be listening to this.
They will be listening tonight now.
May our voices sing you softly off to sleep, listeners.
Yeah.
And here's Burn the Witch to wake you the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Crosses onward.